Blog Talk Radio.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
God in the Mist, Get 'Em Radio presents Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Colossians 2, verse 3 says, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." The Word of God is a gold mine. If you enjoy mining for gold nuggets in the Word of God, this broadcast is for you. The Lord has gifted Dr. Lorraine Nabarro to uncover hidden treasures in the Bible that will delight you as he reveals a different perspective of his word. So get your pick and shovel, turn your mining hat light on, and let's dig into the Word of God.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Hello, and welcome to God in the Midst Radio. My name is Dr. Lorraine Nabarro, and this is Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. The treasure we want to kind of delve into today is the heart of the gospel. Let's open with a word of prayer. Gracious and everlasting God, we are so grateful for the grace and the beauty that you bestow in our lives. We thank you for your mastermind plan of the gospel to lift us up out of the know of all nothing, that we may dwell with you. Thank you, Father God, that you day by day transform us into your own image. May we today closer understand your purposes, your plans, and your desires in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the last week or so we were talking about multiplication, and I was very tempted to go back to that today, but I think that we may hold that off for a week or so. And I just decided we should look at the heart of the gospel. We've been looking at multiplication, but today we're going to talk about addition and subtraction. So we're covering all of our mathematical bases. We're also going to cover a few grammatical bases as well. So we're going to open with a scripture that should be familiar to a great deal of you, and that's out of the gospel according to John. And so what do we ask ourselves about John? What was John's purpose in writing? What was his assignment? And it was to declare Jesus as the Son of God, to show him in his divinity. And that's why there's a lot of more esoteric revelations in John. John chapter 10, a scripture that I'm sure is very familiar to most of you. The thief, this is Jesus' words, Jesus tells his people, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal, kill, and to destroy." Okay, so we know that the enemies of our soul are into subtraction, aren't they? That and I am come that I may. Well, let me start that one over again. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I know that that one's very familiar, but I kind of want to go back to the heart of the gospel for this reason. Too much of the time, people outside of, I'll say church, but we know the body of Christ, and many people inside the body of Christ, many people in pulpits, really equate the gospel with subtraction. What we cannot do, what we cannot have, where we cannot go, what we cannot say, it's all about subtraction, what we lose from our life. Okay. But here it's very plain that Jesus said it's the thief who comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. And he has come, and he contrasts that with his purpose. He reveals his purpose in coming, that they might have, that they might have, that they might have, that they might have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. God is not in the business of some traction in our lives. He's in the business of addition, that they may have. So now we're going to go to the scripture that I'm sure all of you think of as the heart of the gospel, John 3:16. And again, we covered this the other week. It's kind of been roaming around in my head, that kind of how these things go, since we talked about Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness. And then so maybe the same thing will circle around about the multiplication, because I've got some things yet to share with that. But, you know, we read through this passage of John chapter 3, and which was 14, 15, 16, and 17. But so now we're going to go back and look at John 3:16, but we're going to look at it a little bit differently. I told you we're also going to touch on it for the grammarians in the audience today. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That kind of echoes and mirrors what we hear in John 10, 10b. But I want us to look at it differently today, because for the most part, when we read it like this. The emphasis is totally mine, but this is how we hear it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In other words, the emphasis is on the nouns. Now, I have always been somebody who is more fascinated with the verbs. As you may remember from your English grammar days, the verbs are the action words. The verbs tell the action, and to me it shows motion. It shows direction of motion, okay? So we're going to look at this verse. We're going to analyze this. We've talked about a lot of different aspects of how to study the scriptures, to get out of them the wisdom, to get out of them those buried treasures. And one of which is very significant, and we don't necessarily hear it taught real often, is that of structure. How passages are structured, how even whole books are structured, how individual small little verses or passages are. We've talked before about couplets. We've talked about repetition. But we're going to look at this one today, the structure of this one verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It is something that we can actually probably repeat. We have it so memorized and, you know, tattooed on our soul that even almost unconscious we can repeat it. But those verses are the hardest for us to gain, extrapolate any new insights or revelations out of, because they are so familiar. It's difficult to hear them in a new light. So we're going to look at it this way. We're going to look at the structure of this. And I want us to now just read it for the verbs. For God so loved that he gave, that whosoever believe may have. I'm deleting that dependent clause, should not perish. And obviously, you know, we know the objects of those verbs. They're definitely the nouns. You know, but let's look at it that way again. God so loved, he gave, that whosoever believe may have. So we have four verbs, okay? The first two are love and give. The second two are believe and have. And the first two are connected to God. God so loved, God gave. The other two are connected to the whosoever. Whosoever believe, that whosoever may have. I want to first look at the first two. God so loved, he gave. it always starts with God, and it always starts with love. God, while we can read in Old Testament about anger and wrath and judgment and all those things, the very core, the very nature of God, we put those things in our understanding to try to extrapolate, well the technical term theologically is as anthropomorphism, which means we give God human traits. They're traits that God doesn't have, but we understand him that way. We talk about God's arm. God is spirit. He doesn't have an arm, but we understand arm to mean power. We understand arm to mean action. So when we say that, you know, and it's the same thing often with not just attributes as far as physical, but also emotional. So we try to understand God in the essence of our humanity. So that's again why this would be in John. But God is not, one of his attributes isn't love. God is love. God so loved, he gave. The very essence of God is love. But out of love, what is that next verb? He gave. All true loving produces giving. I sometimes, you know, remember Jesus even said, you'll be able to tell the tree by the fruit. Well, it's the same thing. All loving is having, isn't it? All loving is giving. We give because we love. If it's not, then it's all these other things that people try to think is giving. They try to buy your affection, or they try to bribe, or they try to hook. But true loving produces giving. And giving is free. Giving is unadorned. Giving is has no recompense to it. Giving is giving. So love produces giving. God so loved, he gave. It doesn't start with us. It starts with God. And it's God's nature to love. And because he loves, he gives. All true giving is a sign of love. So there are times that people may not actually be able to verbalize what they love or whom they love or how they love. But look at their giving life and you will understand it. Not negotiation. There are many people who quote unquote tithe. They don't give. They tithe. They have this method worked out in their head. They have this formula. Well, I'm supposed to give 10%. And so they calculate it and they put it in the offering and whew, now I don't have to worry about it. Now I'm not going to burn to hell. That's not giving, you know. Or, oh, I'm so afraid of what will happen because, you know, the tither isn't protected. So if I don't give, all kinds of things could befall me. That's out of fear. That also is not giving. Love produces giving. So I won't belabor that. But it's not just that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. God so loves, he gives. And we see that in our lives over and over and over, day after day after day. Even in all the things that we don't see, you know. Any parent understands that kind of love that is constantly present and is not related to results. It is God so loved, he gave. Well, that is a small picture, an image, a fraction of the love that God has. God so loved, he gave. Those two verbs have to do with us. But the next two verbs, whosoever believe may have. It's not just that God loved, so he gave, that we may have. These two verbs, believe and have, related to us. Remember I read John 10:10b, that Jesus said, I am come that they may have. The end of the gospel is having. God wants us to have. Jesus wants us to have. Here it says very specifically life, and life more than abundantly. But over and over and over again, you will see the blessing of God. Remember, adds to you and does not add any sorrow with it. That again, you see everywhere all the things that are, Romans talks about all things being for our good. All things are available to us. Paul even has to make the point, not everything's expedient, but all things are lawful, all things are legal. I just choose not to do some of them because they are not in the spirit of the love of God. But the end result is having, and I want you to get a hold of this now, because sometimes we can be in periods of fear, we can be in periods of where it seems like we're retreating or retrenching or shrinking, but the end of the gospel is that we may have. But it isn't just straight, oh, we may have, it, that whosoever believes may have. People often want you to answer that, well, if God doesn't want this and this to happen, how come? How come there are dead babies in some place? How come, you know, evil is here? How come people are shot there? It is not a direct straight line, because there is the whole thing of free will. There is the whole thing of God respecting our autonomy. All those things are summed up in that the whosoever. But look at that, the way we said God so loved he gave, the whosoever. Well, who is whosoever? It quite literally is whosoever. It is not limited to Christians. It's not limited to Bible-believing Christians. It's not limited to Westerners. It's not limited to white middle-aged men. It's not limited. It is whosoever. If you consider yourself a whosoever, then that these verses are for you. Whosoever believes may have. So our job, if the end result of the gospel is to have, Jesus said, I am come that they may have and have more abundantly, then what we want to honor God is that our life may be a picture of what we have. But the key to the having is believing. It is not just so that more things can be added to us. It is that our faith life is rich and produces having. Believe and faith are the same word in the Greek. One is the noun, one is the verb. But that whosoever believes may have. So we need to believe, don't we? Now, this may sound very strange if you've never looked at it like this, these four verbs. And they can apply to everything. They don't just have to be limited to John 3:16 in this one instance. We've talked about John 10:10. But here's my question then. If the end result of the gospel is to have, okay, God so loved, it starts with God and it ends with us having, doesn't it? The four verbs go, God so loved that God gave, that whosoever, that's you and me, believe that you and I may have. So it would look like that the end of the gospel is us having. Well, there are a lot of people who like the gospel to end there. And that's a lot of that very reactionary thinking, that dig a hole and hunker down thinking. We're the ones that are supposed to have. But if God has the end of what he has done is that we may have, let me ask you the next appropriate question then. What is the end of our having? If God so loved he gave, that whosoever, being us, that if we believe we may have, if Jesus believed in this firmly enough that he came into the world, he walked the walk we walk, he suffered a punishing death that he may give to us that we may have. If that is the case, then what is the end result of that? Is it just that we should have? Remember when we talked about, or not we have, but talked about the manna. The manna in the Old Testament, when the children of Israel were walking in the wilderness and God provided the manna for them. The manna had a purpose, and the purpose was that they were to eat. It was to sustain them on their way. But whenever they hoarded it, whenever they piled it up, What did that manna do? You read it, and this may sound icky to somebody, but this is literally what the scripture says, that it would begin to stink and breed worms. So even the very blessing of God, even the answer to God's prayers, you know, we pray, God answers. Even when he answers, the answer being manna, the answer may be that we have. If we hoard that up, if we don't consume it and use it for what it was meant for daily, then it will stink and breed worms. When you pray the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread, doesn't mean give me so much money that I don't have to think about it again for the rest of the year. Give us this day our daily bread. That refers quite directly back to manna. When they started to get a little bit clever with this, well, this stuff is here just for the taking. I tell you what, I'll work extra hard one day, and then I'll just sit and put my feet up on my lazy boy for, for another week. That manna began to do what? Stink and breed worms. So if the end of the gospel is us having, my question then is, what is the end of our having? So let us go here to the book of Ephesians, one of the very best books there is, I tell you. I love the book of Ephesians. And the first chapters, 1, 2, and 3, talk about what God did for us. You know, what God did for us. And 4, 5, and 6 then talk about how we should walk because of what he has done. All right? So we're now in Ephesians chapter 4. So this is the part of the book that tells us how we should walk. It describes the character, the nature of the Christian. The mature Christian should exhibit these character things, not because exhibiting them proves you're Christian or makes you Christian. It's because of what God did in chapters 1, 2, and 3, which is what God so loved he gave, that these, the chapters 4, 5, and 6 are the whosoever chapters. Whosoever believes then should manifest these things. Chapter 4, verse 1 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. So the next chapters that ensue have to do with the walk. The first three chapters have to do with the enabling. But since we have now been enabled, God so loved he gave, the next three chapters have to do with our walk. Since we have been given these things, this is how we should walk. And in chapter 4, it says so many beautiful things about how we should walk. But I want to look at one in particular, because we are looking at, if the end of the gospel is to have, then what is the end of having? Let us go to Ephesians chapter 4, and let us look at verse 28. This is where he goes through the, let me back up a little to 24, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Okay, you don't create the new man. It's already there. You put it on. God created it. You did not create it by your actions and your behaviors. That's that subtraction business. Wherefore, and so here's what you do. You put away lying, and you speak truth with your neighbor. Verse 26, that if you're angry, you don't sin. You know, we will get angry. That is an emotion God gave us, and it has a purpose, and it's valuable and useful. Jesus got angry, but in his anger, he always honored God. He never sinned. Now, verse 27, neither give place to the devil. You're not out to have to chase him and kill him and destroy him. You can't do that. You just don't give him any place. Verse 28, and this is the one that I want us to look at. Let him that stole steal no more. Okay, so you quit stealing. But that's not enough. But rather, so we go beyond that, don't we? It's not enough to say, I don't do this, and I don't do this, and I don't do that. But rather, what do you do instead? God so loved he gave that whosoever believes may have. But what is the end of that having? It's not just, well, I don't do this, and I don't do that. That's subtraction, isn't it? Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good. Oh, because God can't provide? No, we've proven over and over again the scriptures. God can provide if that's how we needed it. But what is the purpose of us? We have been forgiven for all that we used to steal. And I don't mean necessarily it's just physical. While I never physically stole something. Well, you know, yeah, we all do. And I don't just mean, oh, I took a pen from work. But we take credit where credit is not due. There are people who feel very virtuous, but they are taking advantage of a system for which they are not, they could be inputting into the system, not taking away from it, and so on and so on. We withhold good from people. That's stealing from them. Anyway, he just says that's all wiped out, but he has something for us that he would rather we do, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good. So the end of God's giving to us is not so that we don't work. Some people believe that therefore, you know, and some ministers unfortunately model that, that, well, they have a right because they're the child of God to just sit and have everyone attend to them. It says, we have been forgiven of our stealing, and we have been given. God so loved he gave that whoso believed may have. I am come that they may have. But the end of that having is not just that we may have, right? The manna was given, but the manna was to be consumed, wasn't it? That it may be consumed, that him who has, rather let him labor with his hands the thing that is good, that he may have. Oh, good. Here we go again. So even when God says that whosoever believe may have, that does not mean there isn't labor in it. There's still labor for you to have, but that is God's avenue. That is God's mechanism of getting it to you. But God has given it to us. We cannot say it's through the strength of our own hand or it's through our own might. It is God so loved he gave that because we believe, that's why we have. But why do we have? That he may have what? To give to him that needeth. God says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor with his hands that he may have to give to him that needeth. Okay? So here's how it goes. God so loved he gave that us, each of us, believe we may have. And because we have, we labor that we may have. Why? That we may give. And now the circle is complete. That we may give to those that need. And what does that do? Remember, all true giving is a sign of the love of God. So we labor that we may have to give. If you are only laboring to put food on the table for your own family or laboring for your own retirement cottage or whatever it is, you've kind of missed the boat. God says that we're to labor to have. Why? That we may give. Why is it that God wants us to give? That we may demonstrate the love of God to the world that needs. What does it need? It may need the thing we have. It may need a loaf of bread. It may need a place to spend the night. It may need help on the roadside with a flat tire. But mainly what the world needs is to see the love of God embodied. And how is the love of God embodied? By giving. God so loved he gave. Those who say they love and do not give do not love with the love of God. Those who love with the love of God give. God so loved he gave that we may believe and have. But we have, we labor to have. Why? That we may give. And then the world again sees that God so loved he gave. Because when I give, it shouldn't be you say, oh, isn't Ray wonderful? Look at what she gave. It should be, and this is one of my bugaboos with ministry, and that's what I love doing what I do. When I walk out of a room, I don't want them thinking, oh, wasn't she wonderful? Wasn't she giving? Wasn't she caring? What I want them to, I don't even remember who I was, but say, oh, God, thank you. I feel better now. This is all about God touching his people and that we remain invisible and anonymous. You know, I often go through that when we're talking in these scriptures about various people. And I say a certain woman or, you know, some unnamed person. Because the book of the great work of God is done by the invisible, anonymous individuals that nobody ever sees or knows. The gospel is not a celebrity game. It isn't. America's a little bit, you know, besotted with that. But truly, what we do is the heart of the gospel is that God loved. And because he loved, he gave. Even to his own son, he didn't spare himself anything, did he? But the reason for that was, it wasn't just to say, look at me, I gave, but that we may believe. And in our believing, we have. So you can also equate believing with working, can't you? Because he said, labor with your hands the thing that is good. Don't labor doing things you shouldn't do. Labor in its own sake isn't good. You got to labor the thing that is good. Labor with your hand the thing that is good. Why? Why? That we may have to give. God so loved he gave that whosoever believe may have, that the whosoever's who have may give to a world that needs to see the love of God. That, to me, is the heart of the gospel. I hope also that you begin to see, you can pull the structures of scriptures have as much importance many times as the words that's used. Don't overlook all the little words, the verbs, the all those small little things that carry the gospel train going. I want to just encourage you today that God has put things in your hands. God has loved you and given to you. And it inspires us that we have. I don't count myself. Remember, part of the reason I brought this up is that last week, Andrew saw the importance, the blessing of the bountiful eye is seeing that I have. You know, Philip was counting what he didn't have. But Andrew was counting what they had. We have a boy with a little bit of a lunch here. And that was enough for the miracle. We'll probably get back to that again next week. But before we get to it, I wanted you to see that the heart of the gospel is that, again, it's the blessing of the bountiful eye. Keep your eye on what you have. And what we have is the opportunity to show a world love, not by words, not by abstract concepts, but by giving. But by laboring, they see the labor. I labor isn't the same as them. I'm not laboring because I have to. I'm not laboring because I'm afraid I will starve. I'm afraid I'll get kicked out of my house. I'm afraid. I don't labor out of fear. I don't labor for purpose. It's not what I do that makes me who I am. It's whose I am that makes me who I am. And because of whose I am, I love and I love and I give, and the world then may see him in us. He has no hands but our hands with which to give him bread. He has no feet but our feet to walk among the almost dead. So we are his hands and feet, not because we get extra points on our heavenly crown, not because if we don't, then we're bad people and we won't make it into heaven. But because he has bestowed so much goodness on us that we have such an abundance that we cannot help but overflow that same loving and giving into the world that has need. May God bless you this week. Heavenly Father, let us get a sense of the love that you pour to us each daily. And let us be in that flow that others may see you through our actions, through our love. In Jesus' name, amen. See you next week. I hope that this was at least a little bit of an encouragement to you today. And just keep on loving and serving. God bless.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Thank you for joining God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio's Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Enjoy all of the Get 'Em Radio broadcasts by calling 619-639-4733. That's 619-639-4733. And the broadcasts are as follows. Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures, is aired every Monday at lunchtime. That's 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. Prophetic Healing with Elder Philip Harkey is aired on the second Wednesday of every month, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And the God in the Midst broadcast is aired every Thursday at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Once again, you can listen to all these broadcasts as they air by calling 619-639-4733. When you get an opportunity, please go to the blogtalkradio.com/God in the Midst website and listen to this broadcast in its entirety, as well as all of Get 'Em Radio's online archives. While you're on the blogtalkradio.com/God in the Midst website, click the follow button and you will get a reminder via email of all our upcoming episodes. You may contact us at Get 'Em Radio, that's G-I-T-M radio, at gmail.com, or call us at 903-776-4488. We'd love to hear from you. Also, meet us on Facebook at God in the Midst, and like us because we like you too. Have a blessed rest of the day.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.